Tonight on the Goblin's Corner,
drinking at the table.
That's how we roll. 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 That's how we roll.
Welcome to the Goblin's Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
drinking at the table.
Yeah, we're going to talk about, well, getting drunk at playing D&D. Or whatever you happen to be playing. But it's probably D&D. Who knows? I see a lot of TTRPG Twitter accounts, and I would say 95% of them are D&D 5th edition. Have you noticed this? There's a resurgence, my friend.
It's true. I think that's partially because D&D honestly advertises.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of other games don't.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Although I have seen some people playing Shadowrun. I've seen some, there's a Vampire Atlanta.
Now, I have seen a fair amount of World of Darkness stuff that gets kicked around. The Vamply?
The Vamply, yeah. It's anything with the V, brother. Yeah, you don't see many other games that active in the Twitterverse as D&D, I found.
And that's kind of a shame because there's a lot of great games
out
there.
There's so many good games. And we've reviewed a couple of them, but tonight we're not going to review any games at all.
Nope.
Tonight we're not reviewing anything except drinking at the table and what it means to you to A, be a player and boozing it up,
sure,
or be a GM and boozing it up, and how you can mitigate the potential cons of that or enhance the experience of a role-playing game. I'm really excited about this. And this actually wasn't our actual episode we had planned for this either.
No. We were actually theoretically going to review a bunch of drinking games.
Yes. And we tried. We really did try to find something that wasn't just
garbage.
Drunk Battleship.
Yeah.
Or 50,000 types of beer pong.
Honestly, of the ones we found, Drunk Battleship and Drunk Chess were realistically the better ones.
I have the Drunk Chess set, actually.
It's true. I've seen it, yes.
We have that, and we have the Drunk Roulette game.
Right.
But it's always like, and then even the card games that we found were all just take a shot or do this. There wasn't really any game mechanics in it except to tell you to do some kind of drinking behavior, which usually just meant, hey, we're going to get hammered. Do this thing.
Right. We could just sit around and drink if we were going to do that.
Yeah. If I'm going to do that, I'm just going to drink. I mean, I aim to win, brother. If I'm going to get drunk, I'm going to get drunk easy, quickly.
I also don't get people buying box sets of Never Have I Ever or Truth or Dare. What is the purpose of that? If you're going to play Never Have I Ever, the whole concept is for you to get everybody else in the room drunk because you know their vices already.
Man, I was 16 a long, long time ago. I don't have time to play Never Have I Ever. That's just not something that I'm going to do.
That and the list is getting shorter.
It's true, yeah. Well, I have to think of things I haven't done these days. All right, so before we get into this mess, what's going on with you?
You know, just working on the project when I can, when the weather will allow me to.
Yes.
When hurricanes aren't knocking down 100-year-old oaks in my yard.
Yeah. Yeah, there is that. We had a storm recently, and Matt had a tree fall in his yard.
It basically, at the time, covered my front yard.
It's true. Yeah, so basically what? The wind blew a tree down in your front yard, knocked out your power.
Yep.
Knocked everything else out.
Internet, all that.
The whole block got knocked out because of it.
Yes.
And the tree was dead, if I recall.
No.
No? Oh, this was not your tree.
Correct. It was my neighbor's tree that came up by the roots.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the entire tree that toppled.
My Comcast got knocked out.
You still have some lines down in your front.
It's still, oh yeah, it's been a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll get to it someday. I hate Comcast. We're never getting sponsored by Comcast.
I don't imagine
I don't think we're ever getting sponsored by them.
If we are, wow.
Well, I hope the tree gets removed, and I'm glad that your power's back up.
So my neighbor did something which I'm actually kind of cool with. Basically, what he decided was chop it all up into firewood-sized blocks and put out a sign that says free firewood.
Sure.
And, you know, there are people even down here who use their fireplaces, so I'm great with it. It's fine.
Yeah. Burn some stuff, man. It's good for you.
I'm thinking about buying one of those little patio fireplaces just for me to...
A fire pit?
Yeah.
Yeah, get a fire pit. I love the idea of a fire pit.
Chill out, roast a marshmallow, you know, all the good stuff. What about you? Other than the storm, anything interesting?
I mean, not really. And I hurt myself, so I got to go see a doc soon.
I'm going to need you to not hurt yourself.
I know. We're getting old, guys.
I'm going to give you a cease and desist on that.
So I may have to get cut open with the knife. More info on that later, but we'll see what happens. Don't worry. I'll be around.
Drag you off to a street doc.
Yeah. I need a stem patch is what I need. All right. So we're getting off topic here. Before we get into all of that.
That's what we do.
Yeah. We got a question of the week.
Of course we do.
Now, being that it is episode 21, which in the States at least is the number for legally being required to drink. And I say required, not allowed, because really if you're 21 and you've made it that far in the States, especially in this day and age, you should probably have a damn drink.
You should probably have your neighbor's drink while you're at it.
That's a good point. So you've got a drink related question.
I do. I'm going to split it up slightly though.
Okay.
What is your preferred adult beverage and what is your preferred adult beverage while playing?
Oh, while playing D&D?
Yeah.
Well, if it's my preferred adult beverage, I have one of two choices that I enjoy, and you've had both of them. Obviously, I am a fan of gin and tonics. I have always been a fan of gin and tonics, and the reason behind that is because when we were much younger and much poorer, no one else drank gin, and thus I always had booze. But I also appreciate a good gin, and I love gin and tonics, so that would be my preferred beverage. Now, the other beverage, because, you know, I can't answer one thing, is, of course, the Bloody Mary.
Sure.
Now, I make a Bloody Mary. I guess it's called a Bloody Caesar, the way I make it, because I use Clamato. But it was taught to me. Now, Matt, you're obviously, for those of you guys who don't know, Matt was a mixologist at one point. But this was not taught to me by Matt. This was taught to me by a bartender named Dan, who was a, what's higher than epic? Is it legendary? In Warcraft,
WoW? It's epic, legendary, and then mythic.
Okay, he's mythic. He would be a mythic mixologist. A mythic mixologist.
See, it's even hard to say.
It's really hard to say, and it's really hard to make. No, I'm just kidding. It's really easy to make, and he taught it to me, and I'm going to teach it to you guys tonight. That's right. I'm going to give you the legendary Dan... Doesn't really sound very legendary when you say it. The legendary Bloody Mary mix. And all it is some good gin. That's right. Fuck a bunch of vodka. Gin. Celery salt. Worcestershire sauce. A little bit of Clamato. And some ice. And because I live in the South, some pickled okra. And it is delicious. It tastes like steak in a glass. And it is awesome. And it's the best hangover cure for after a night of drinking gin.
A little hair of the dog that bit you?
Yeah, two gin drinks. There you go.
All right. For me, one of my go-to... Well, you didn't do what you actually drink while you're playing.
Oh, we usually drink some kind of caffeine drink, so either coffee or Mountain Dew.
Sure.
There you go. I'm not picky when it comes to playing D&D.
So for me, a dark and stormy.
Sure. Now you go as dark as possible, as dark as your black soul.
Yes. Yes.
And as stormy as...
You ought to be able to tattoo with your rum.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm a big fan of the dark rum myself.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with a blanc, with a white rum or anything. And realistically, the whole dark light thing, there's a lot of sketchy things to go on with it. I'm not going to go on a rum rant. Okay.
Well, let's talk about the ginger beer, because let's not pussyfoot around here. You want stuff that'll, you know, burn your nostrils, ginger beer.
Yes. Yeah, I don't want ginger ale.
No, you're not getting some Schweppes here. You're getting something that, you know, with some bite.
Yes.
I mean, it needs to bite you in the face to work.
Yeah, I want it to chew on my ice while it's in the glass.
Absolutely.
So, I like a good dark and stormy, obviously. I like you know me, I drink by mood. So mm-hmm. I can, a nice dark beer, I'm good with that.
Sure.
If I'm playing, honestly, I'm with you. I don't often drink while I'm playing. If I do, it's generally going to be rum and a mixer, whatever mixer is handy.
Yeah, we'll do like rum and Coke when we actually drink at the table.
But generally, coffee. Coffee is the answer to almost everything.
That I agree with that as well.
If I had to pick a beverage that I'm allowed to have other than water for the rest of my life, it will be coffee.
Now, I don't want to get you non-gin, non-rum drinkers angry or anything like that, because we will literally drink whatever you give us.
I won't. No tequila for me.
I will. Well, tequila makes me fight. But aside from that, and I'll probably still drink it, actually, if you give it to me,
sure.
Because it's free. But we're not picky when it comes to getting some booze on.
Yeah.
We do have our favorites, but, and as we no doubt will do at some point in the near future, we will make a mixed drink out of pretty much anything.
That is definitely true.
Ethanol. It's, I mean, gasoline. We'll come up. This guy can come up with all kinds of stuff.
No, we've already proven that I can't make a drink out of gasoline. I'm looking at you, Hellbender.
Oh God. Yeah. Let's not go into that.
All right.
Let's talk about drinking at the table.
Let's do that.
So as I mentioned, we were going to do an episode about drinking games, but I think this is a better episode anyway, because when you play D&D or when you play Vampire, any World of Darkness or Shadowrun or whatever that game
any
happens
game.
To be, yeah. Numenera, it could be anything, right? Sometimes it's fun to have that adult beverage, like really get in the mood. And we say adult beverage, but we could also mean any beverage, obviously. But specifically, we're talking tonight about player characters who are drinking at the game or DMs or GMs who are drinking at the table and how you kind of handle that.
Sure. The first question is, should you drink at the table?
That's definitely the question of the day, because sometimes it's appropriate.
It is.
And sometimes it's a hot mess.
Also true. So it depends on your group, for one thing. Neither of us do. We don't drink disrespectfully. If somebody in the group is not comfortable mm-hmm. with drinking while playing, we don't. We're here for fun anyway. There's no need for nonsense.
And that goes back to your session zero.
Yep.
Talk with your players. Talk with your GM. Again, establish those boundaries. If you've got a recovering alcoholic in your group and they don't want to be around that thing, respect that.
Yep.
Because the game is more important than you getting lit. This isn't, now, many times.
And your personal relationships are more important than that.
Absolutely. They always should be. And keep this in mind, you know, sometimes people like to party. They like to have a good time. It's the same thing. Yeah. You know, this is playing with your friends.
Another thing to keep in mind is the age of the people at the table.
We're going to assume that if you're drinking at the table, you are of legal age, regardless of whether we were when we started playing.
We very officially do not condone underage miscreantism. That's not going to be us.
Is that a word?
Miscreantism? Sure.
It's going to be a word tonight.
That's
our word tonight.
That's being an underage miscreant.
We might be drinking at the table now.
Maybe I should be. I think I could have delivered that word better.
Okay, so understand your group. Obviously, be able to drink legally.
Sure.
Or at least be in a place that doesn't card. And understand the tolerances of the people playing the game.
That is wholly correct.
If you're a two-drink minimum kind of guy, and you know that this game is going to run for a couple hours, you probably want to pace yourself because you don't want to get plowed halfway through the game because A, it's not going to be a fun experience for you getting trashed, and B, it's not going to be a fun experience for anybody else watching you get trashed.
Right. It can be very difficult to play with people who have passed a point where they're capable of playing well.
Yeah. Can you maintain?
And I mean, that's
really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Can you maintain? if you can maintain, or you, if you don't, if you can't maintain, then pace yourself. If you can maintain, do it, right? It's yep. totally fine. It's perfectly acceptable in your, so depending upon your social setting. Now, we also have to mention what kind of person you turn into when you drink.
Well, the note here specifically says, what kind of asshole
That's true,
are
yeah.
you when you drink? And the fact of the matter is, on some level, we're all assholes. Every one of us.
And when you drink, you turn into a bigger asshole.
Right. The volume just goes up a little bit. So if you are a happy, talkative drunk, that can be just fine. As long as you are capable of shutting up.
Additionally, the other type of asshole could be the belligerent drunk as well.
Sure.
Yeah. So know your mental states. Or, and if you don't know your mental states when you drink, have a friend who knows you, who's been out drinking with you, and ask them.
Yeah.
They'll tell you. If they're their, if they're your friend, they'll be brutally honest as well. Or they should. If they aren't, they're not your friends.
That's true. That's fair. So let's talk about, now we've covered whether or not you should drink at the table.
So let's go ahead and assume that you are going to drink.
Yep. Let's, couple ground rules.
All right.
Don't get stupid drunk.
Please, don't get stupid drunk. Why should we not get stupid drunk, Matt?
Because we've sat down at this table as a group to play a game, and if one of us is stupid drunk, then that is going to disrupt everyone's ability to play said game.
Now, if you're playing Drunk Battleship with shots...
No, that's the job.
That's,
you're sitting
that's
down
the
to
game.
Get, yeah, you're sitting down to get stupid drunk.
But if you're playing an actual storytelling game, getting plowed isn't going to help you that much.
No.
And it should come as no surprise that if you're not going to get plowed, you probably should also make it your goal to not get sick.
Nobody wants to clean that up. Nobody wants to deal with you being at that point.
Yeah, that's that. We of course, have been to parties where something like that has happened, and it's always been a letdown in the evening. It always happens at that certain hour when people had a little bit too much, maybe food as well. It mixes into this nice witch's brew in their gut, and they spill their beans over everything.
Sure.
We don't want to clean puke out of our dice.
No.
Or character sheets. Or God help me, the carpet.
Or laptops.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah. Again, comes back to the cardinal rule. Maintain. Pace yourself. Know your limits.
Yep. You obviously need to be capable of paying attention to your GM and the other players.
Yes.
You got to be able to know when your turn is, what you're doing on your turns. And for people who can already be indecisive, if you're drinking, that can definitely exacerbate that problem.
And this is one of those rules where this is the most irritating rule to me, honestly. And the reason behind it is it goes back, and I think we had this when we were talking about how to be a good player.
Yeah, this is actually rules for whether or not you're drinking.
Yeah, this doesn't matter. Like this goes back to one of our previous episodes. So as a good player or a good person, you should be paying attention to what's going on that the GM is saying, because it's stupid rude to be on your phone while they're running a game. They took all this time to write a story, to talk to you, to talk to your friends, and play something. So if you're not paying attention, shame on you. If you're hammered, you can't pay attention, double shame on you at that point.
Yeah.
And pay attention to the people who are also playing, because it's their time to shine if they're engaged in something. Even if it's not your turn, if you're not doing something, it doesn't matter. So if you drink at the table, don't get drunk enough so that your attention lapses into non-existence. And I hate to say it, I've even been that asshole at one point where we got too plowed and kind of fell asleep
playing
a game. There was the cookie incident, for example.
There was.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry to my friend about the cookie incident. I really am. We'll talk about that someday. Anyhow, the point is pay attention, be able to maintain. And again, don't puke everywhere, and don't spill anything either. That's another thing. You get hammered, you get clumsy, you knock stuff over.
Sure. And, you know, if you're sober and you knock stuff over, you're generally quicker to respond. You notice that you've done it.
Sure.
And you can jump right on it. Whereas if you've already got a few drinks and you might not even notice that you knocked a drink over. Certainly if it's not yours, you might not notice at all.
Now, Matt and I have had many years of drinking experience. And I know that some of you out there in internet land have also had many years of drinking experience. So we're going to say some stuff that many of you probably have known for years. But if you don't know this stuff, guess what? You're going to learn something tonight. A, for every beverage, hydrate.
Hydrate.
Water. Water will help, my friends. Trust me. It also keeps you from getting a hangover, too. Eat something while you're getting boozed up. That's just common sense, right?
One would think.
This is what we call consponsible in the con scene.
Yes.
Realize you're going to need to pee, and that's going to stop the game. So if you're just downing beers left and right, you're probably going to have to get up to the bathroom unless you have the bladder made of iron,
right,
which some of our friends have.
Sure.
And again, getting up and going to the bathroom every couple of minutes because you're just getting loaded is disrespectful. It's not fun for the other players because they have to stop the action if it's your turn. So just kind of consider that, right? Now, a good GM will obviously set bathroom breaks or breaks, just kind of, you know, stretch, walk around, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't have to depend on those.
Mixed drinks, wine, beer, keep it light. We're not doing shots every time somebody rolls a crit unless there's a game set aside.
Unless there's an election.
Fair. But, not, I mean, while I love that concept, and that might be a drinking game we play at some point.
4 years from now, it's going to be a drinking game.
That will be a one-shot for playing drunk RPG, whatever game we decide to play.
Sure.
Every time somebody rolls a crit, take a shot.
I like that too.
We're going to have to come up with some rules. Maybe we'll make our own drinking game.
That's how we fix all of this.
Because other than Drinking Quest, which I am not 100% against, most of the other ones were garbage. So, yeah, maybe we'll have to write something up.
We'll come up with something. Yeah. So keep the drinks light. Now, again, both of us have said we like our mixed drinks.
Yes.
You know, I like my gin. And I will, when I'm drinking at the table, will have a mixed drink. But I also am aware of my limits as well, too. So I'm not going to just keep going one round after the other. And the reason we tend to say keep it light in terms of, like, you know, beer or wine or, you know, maybe like a mixed drink occasionally is mostly because if you're not used to drinking at the game all the time, then you could easily overdo it. This isn't like a party situation.
Right.
I mean, well, depends on your game. For us, it sometimes is, but
generally agree to that sort of situation before we start gaming.
Sure. Yeah. Again, know your friends.
Right.
Yeah. If you're doing shots off the table every time you roll, yeah, that's going to end up some bad times, or it's going to be one of those stories that ends up being just a lot of murder hoboing.
Right. Which is fine in its place.
Yeah.
One of the things we did discuss when we were talking about this particular topic is actually considering pairing your drink with your game so that it's thematically appropriate.
Ah, yes. If you're a host or a GM, and by the way, if you're a GM or you're a host, we have episodes on both of those.
Right.
Go check out the backlog. You can kind of add booze as a theme to your game. I mean, obviously, mood lighting and music and even sounds and smells, all that, you know, yeah, all that stuff work really well because you're role playing, right? Get into the spirit of it. I mean, people dress up to play games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're going to dress up and play D&D, why not have some culinary additions to that?
Yep.
So we came up with some quick things, right? So what, like, obviously D&D pairs pretty good with like an ale.
Sure. Any beer-ish will work. And you can also use some old-timey punches.
Sure.
Red wine for vampire, that obviously.
Goes without obviously. Saying. Yeah. Glow in the dark, some kind of mixed drink for Shadowrun or Cyberpunk, something neon-ish.
Well, something neonish, but as we also discussed, if you put tonic water and a drink.
Oh, it glows under a black light. That's right.
It glows under a black light.
Yeah, yeah. Pro tip, guys. You want to make a glow-in-the-dark drink? Tonic water's the key. What about Call of Cthulhu? What could we drink for that?
Absinthe.
Absinthe.
It's got to be absinthe. Must be absinthe.
Can't be an old-fashioned?
I would... Actually, yes. An old-fashioned is kind of proto-cocktail enough to just squeak into that time frame. Yeah.
Have to do psychedelic mushrooms for paranoia.
I mean, yeah.
It's not really drinking at the table unless you make like mushroom tea or something like that.
Which you could do.
For paranoia, that would be...
awful. That would be a terrible idea.
That would be great. That should be another game we should try. So make this an experience is what we're trying to say.
Sure. You might as well, if you're going to be drinking at the table, right, do some mood music. Use some lighting that is appropriate to your setting. Theme it out. Just run with it.
And if you want, you could even have a specific drink for the game, right? So if people are, instead of people saying, well, I'm going to bring a bunch of different ales, or I'm going to bring this one, or I'm going to drink this one, you could do something like you could make a punch, or you could have a, I don't know much about wine, but I mean, like you could have maybe like a wine pairing with some food and stuff like that.
Yeah.
For the specific game.
But if you're going to make a punch, check for allergies.
Yes.
Punches tend to have lots of ingredients, and it's okay to kill your PCs. It's not okay to kill your players.
That's a good point. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back right after this. This is a commercial break. If you guys would like to hear us review something like a product or service, or if you'd like us to cover something like a topic,
or if you'd like to sponsor an episode, we'd love to hear from you and have you contact us at info@goblinscorner.com.
So write to us and maybe we'll talk to you. Maybe not. And we're back.
Welcome back.
All right. So before the break, we were talking a little bit about maybe doing some kind of theme for the games.
Yeah.
And we went ahead and came up with a couple of examples that, honestly, I think these are pretty awesome. And we came up with three, but obviously there's way more than three games out in the world, but these are some popular games. So we did one for D&D, Vampire, and Shadowrun.
Right.
Now, you can apply these to anything, really, and you should.
The concept stands for a lot of it.
And we didn't just pair this with booze. We also came up with some food and some other things like that. So sights and smells and all that other stuff. So let's go into D&D first. So talk to me about what we should be smelling, right? So maybe some incense.
Sure. So I think for D&D, you can always go with like a jasmine incense. You can do sage. You can burn some Nag Champa or even some like frankincense incense.
Yeah, smell like a dirty hippie.
Any of that old school stuff. Yeah.
Now you said something interesting the other day when we were writing this out, which was you could pair the smells to the player characters too.
Yes.
And I wanted you to explore more of that because you're saying something like you could smell like do cleric versus sorcerer versus wizard.
Yeah, a cleric, right? You're going to have a lot of the traditional incenses.
So like frankincense.
Your frankincense, your myrrh, your sage even. The resins, a lot of the resin incenses would work well for that. Sandalwood would be a huge one.
Sure. What about a wizard would be more?
Wizard, you're going to want something acrid, right? You're going to want like a mugwort or even thyme you could do, or not thyme, rosemary, something pine, like sharp and piney.
Yeah.
You could do something like that.
Barbarians, what, gym socks?
Barbarian, actually, I was... My thought for barbarian was something
leather and horses.
Something
actually leather would work
with but it's tough to get leather incense unless it's got a bunch of fake chemicals in it.
Uh-huh.
But I was thinking something really sharp, like a something sharp and something earthy. So you could go like a patchouli with a little bit of black pine, and then something like a mint. Something that's cool, right? That bring, because most people, when they think barbarians, they think northern barbarians, right? They think mm-hmm. Viking berserker type most of the time. And so you could do something that's got that kind of cold note that hits in your brain.
By the way, guys, if you're wondering why I'm just kind of being an asshole and he's actually being scholarly about this, is because he makes his own scented oils. So yeah, he is far more knowledgeable about this stuff than I am in this case.
I've worked out a bard oil that I'm mellowing now, and if it turns out well, I'll let you smell it.
Oh,
if
yeah.
It,
the beard oil you gave me was great.
Thank you. Okay. We're gonna hop on track here. We got smells, right?
Right. So, sorcerer, what does a sorcerer smell like?
Sorcerer, see, that's a tough one because there are so many bloodlines.
Charcoal.
just raw charcoal.
Just charcoal, lizard.
Right.
I mean, there's so many smells, guys.
Well, the thing is you've got your clockwork one now. So what are you going to use? Like grease?
Celestial versus, you know,
right. That's what
fiendish
I'm saying.
Versus same draconic.
Problem,
yeah.
Same problem with warlocks. There's 1,000 different packs.
Yeah, you could smell like a great, literally, what's a great old one smell like? I like rancid
ambergris.
Sushi. Ambergris. Yeah.
That's
rancid sushi.
And whale vomit. That's,
I know what ambergris
that's,
is.
That's,
all right, so
that's what a great old one smells like.
All right, so let's move on here. So we pick some incense, right?
Right?
It could be anything, right? Maybe you could just, you know what actually would be kind of cool is potentially picking maybe an incense that you want the bar to,
right?
Because you know a lot of D&D games start off in a bar because that's kind of the trope. So make your bar smell like something,
right?
Pair it with an ale or a mead,
yeah.
And you also mentioned a white wine would be good for a D&D game. And I like all three of those. A red wine would also suffice, too, because, you know, medieval.
Yeah.
I like the idea, though, get a nice mead. Maybe a nice crisp mead while you're playing.
Something drier would be better.
Serve it in a nice big old earth-fired mug.
Yep. And Viking's blood would be an excellent option for that, actually.
Actual blood? What are you talking about?
No, there's a meadery called Viking's Blood.
Oh. Drink the blood, too, I guess, if you really want to. But yeah, all right, so we have like an ale or a mead or a white wine. That sounds good. And, of course, we can go with some continued tropes here. If you're using a nice smoky ale or an earthy ale, then you probably go with maybe like a nice sharp cheese.
Sure. If you don't go fancy with it, a charcuterie board, right? Your cheese, your meat, a hard crusted bread that you actually have to rip apart. That would be super great.
Get some smoked sausages.
Absolutely.
Or you get one of the, again, go down to the deli and get, you know, your meat plate.
Yeah.
Or for your vegetarian options, you know, go get some various,
vegetable. They're called vegetables.
I know they're called vegetables. I was looking. What was the word I was looking for? Crudites, I think.
Crudites.
Yeah, that's it.
You can totally do that. Just provide not just hummus, and not just ranch. Right.
Yeah.
If you have vegetarian friends, exercise a little bit of brain power and provide more than just ranch dipping sauce.
Now, what you just said. We live in the South, man. Ranch dressing goes with everything. You know, you're making a cardinal sin to a lot of people who might be listening in Georgia. But I know the rest of the world doesn't understand that.
I have to speak for my vegetarian people out there.
I understand.
I'm not one of them, but I'm willing to help.
Now we had something at a previous game. So our buddy Roberts is a grill master.
Yeah,
he is a grill master. I'm gonna give props to my boy Roberts, and he injected a whole bunch of cheese into a whole bologna, and he smoked it all day. And it was the most amazing thing I've ever had. And we played D&D with big old slices of...
Just slabs
of smoked bologna, and then he went down and got a whole wheel of cheese. And so we're kind of, you know, cutting off the hoop.
Yep.
And eating some sharp cheddar and some smoked bologna and farting like a bunch of old men.
Now, I feel it necessary to point out, we're not talking about Oscar Mayer here.
No. He went down. He went to the butcher and got a whole bologna from
there. Real bologna. Yes,
it was great. Had a little crust on it when he smoked it all day. Delicious. I don't know what we were drinking. We were drinking the beer they made. Because him and his friend, my friends also make their own beer, and so we had homemade beer, a little bit of cheese, some smoked bologna. We probably had something else, but
we that was suffer what I, so much.
Well, yeah.
We are aware that
some third world problems we got.
That we are very lucky at times.
Now let's bring this all together. So we've got
taste.
We've got smell, we have taste. Now let's do a little bit of let's talk about music.
I think for D&D you have to go with some chamber music, right? Mm-hmm. Some drinking songs, some sailor shanties.
Sure. Even go a little Celtic if you wanted.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're in the appropriate place for it, yeah.
It just depends. Yep. There's a whole range on all of the platforms to find stuff. Yep. And if you don't know, write to us and we'll give you a playlist. We're on Spotify, we're on iTunes, all that stuff. We can help you find some stuff if you want for your game. There's actually some websites that have playlists specifically for D&D theme music too.
Yeah. And if you've got the change for it, Sirenscape is a great option.
That's very true. Yes. Now for sight, if you want to kick the mood up a notch, obviously light some candles,
torches.
If you're playing outside,
a roaring fireplace.
Yeah. A roaring fireplace is a wonderful idea, or a fire pit if you're playing outside again.
Yeah.
So we've got the whole D&D experience fleshed out right there. Go off and do that. Yeah. Let's talk about what's
for,
that?
For tactile, you just beat the crap out of each other.
Just beat the crap out of people. Just
do not beat the crap out of people.
Punch them in the face, give them a mug of ale. All right. Vampire.
There we go.
All right. So obviously, let's go sight first for vampire.
Sight first? All right.
Yeah.
Candlelight?
Yeah. Scented candles, right? That's sight and smell in one.
Sure.
Because that's, blood red, half dripped candles. You can see it, can't you?
You can't, but I really don't think you should overshoot the option of black candles either.
Oh, black candles would work too. Yeah, yeah. I like that. That's a good option as well. Or you could even have, if you have the house for it, a candelabra.
Yes.
I mean,
sure.
You could probably find a nice candle holder at like dollar store or the Goodwill or something like that.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. We should do that sometime when we play a horror game. We should
do that for 10 candles.
I was about to say that. Yeah. We need to find ourselves a nice 10 candle holder for 10 candles. Yeah, that's great. All right. So let's talk about some smells. Obviously scented candles, but what kind of smells can we smell?
We're holding the obvious one for last because it's obvious.
It's obvious.
All right. Musk.
Mm-hmm. Musk would be good.
Something deep.
Yeah. Like a deep, maybe a florally smell, I guess would work.
Yeah.
I like the vanilla that you mentioned.
Right. Rose.
Uh-huh.
As long as you cut it with either the musk or the vanilla. Rose by itself is just going to smell like your grandma.
Yeah, because it's all of these smells are very strong.
And lastly, cloves.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
cloves are
whether via scented or cigarette form. Yes.
Right. Yeah. You're going to have cloves.
Music's easy. Gothic music.
Right. Little Sisters of Mercy, Cure, Smiths.
Keep it rolling.
Oh, Lord. Joy Division. So the problem is I suck at modern
Depeche Mode.
Some of their stuff.
Some of their early stuff.
But yeah, there's...
But you could go a little bit more like punk, too. You could do some Misfits.
You could. You can also go on the industrial side of it. Go for angle for that whole Blade feel.
Are we just going to really just...
KMFDM?
We're just going to say the playlist for the chamber?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... You have the wide range of auditory experiences depending upon your game.
If you can't figure out what music you ought to be playing, go to your local goth club. What am I talking about? You're already playing Vampire.
You are the goth club.
You probably have been to the local goth club.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just play the music you like in that case.
Let's talk about booze, since this is the episode on that.
Yeah.
The obvious is red wine.
Sure. Absinthe.
Oh, absinthe would be great for this.
I love your addition to this because I completely blanked on it and it makes total sense.
What, Bloody Marys?
Yeah.
And you now have the best gin Bloody Mary on the planet, folks. So go out and make it. Let's talk about some food.
All right. My theory for food is it should all be finger food. It should all be like dainty, like mini quiches.
Shaped like fingers.
Sure.
Okay. What else? No. So mini quiches, what else we got?
All right. I don't know, just anything that you can eat cleanly, right? go for the prim and proper, old school hors d'oeuvre tray style food.
I could see this game if you're really getting
like some
into
pastry
this.
Puffs and stuff like that.
Sure, or even you know the little forks.
Yeah. Oh yes, like absolutely.
Break out the nice cutlery.
Get you some shrimp cocktail and.
Oh yeah, I won't say no to shrimp cocktail though.
Imagine you're at a nice wedding, and they have an hors d'oeuvre platter. Serve that stuff.
Yep. So your vampire experience is slightly more ornate, I would say, than the rowdy D&D game.
As it should be.
Now, again, your game may vary. You may do a bunch of beers and some ale. And it really depends on the scene that you're trying to build.
Yeah. And if you're playing Vampire Dark Age, then, you know, go back to the D&D stuff. It
sure
makes more sense.
But if you're playing New Age, you might want to make it out into like a, you know, a bar. So you can just do regular stuff too. But we're trying to give you guys some options to kind of, you know, get your characters in the mood and stuff like that. Now let's talk about, and I love this one. I love everything about this next one, Shadowrun. Talk to me about the food for Shadowrun.
Food truck food.
Food truck food.
Everything.
Explain why.
Because runners are always on the go. You shouldn't have any food that you can't eat with one hand because the other hand should have a gun in it.
So tacos.
Right. Burritos.
Wraps.
Yeah. Euros.
Oh, yeah. So pretty much fast food or Subway type stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. This makes perfect sense. I love the rationale that you made for this.
Yeah. But specifically by preference, food truck food, because it's like you freaking driving a getaway. Everybody's starving and they see this food truck on the side of the road. They dip in, slide the cred stick, grab a handful of food and just keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Liquor. Let's talk about liquor.
All right. So I think you got to go a little cyberpunk with this. And I think you need to go with some brightly colored cocktails.
Okay.
I hesitate to say a little on the stiff side here, but you can have them stiff tasting without necessarily being mule kicking type strength.
Yeah, definitely the average Shadowrunner is going to do a little more hard drinking than some games.
Sure.
And to keep with the mood, yeah, you can make some kind of neon glowing cocktail or even, you know, shot drinks.
Yep.
But just limit yourself to the shots.
Sure. So you can do... add a little bit of blue carousel to just about anything, and it's going to give you a vibrant color. Some Midori or some green apple pucker if you want some green looking. Slow gin gives you a nice solid red color. Let's see here. You can,
of course, tonic water glows under a black light.
Right.
What else glows under a black light? Do you guys know of any?
It.
Oh, really? Is that it? Do you guys know of any other booze that makes interesting colors or glows under a black light? Write to us. info@goblinscorner.com, or you can reach me, eric@goblinscorner.com, or
matt@goblinscorner.com.
Okay, so we're talking about different booze. Oh, in addition to that.
Beer.
Beer, yeah.
Yeah.
Just go grab some beer. And honestly, if you want to stay in the whole kind of food truck mentality, you don't have to get a fancy beer. We're not talking craft beer here, guys. Like, you could literally go get a six pack of something.
Yeah. And get
a beer. I would get something good though.
My brain has a darker bottle. I couldn't go with a clear bottle. Like, it needs to be a darker bottle. Like, grab a Killian's or, right? I don't see a clear bottle beer in my head. I could be wrong, but that's not what I see.
I would literally, if I was going to host a Shadowrun game, I would literally go to the gas station and get the beer there. Not at a liquor store.
Some cans, yeah.
And get your gas station beer because, again, going on the mentality of the food truck idea, runners are going to get whatever they have available, right? So,
yep.
You're in the Metroplex, you grab a bunch of road beers.
Yep.
It's whatever's available.
I'm with it. That makes total sense.
And in addition to food, by the way, this is a perfect one where you get a bunch of different types of neon candies as well. So like shock tarts.
Sure.
Or sour candies, like the sour gummy worms. Yeah, any of that gross stuff that you buy at Halloween that we love to eat. It's this is going to be fun. Go get you. This is like one where I know the whole concept of the D&D player with the Cheeto stains, but I mean, for a Shadowrun game, get some Cheetos.
Sure.
Absolutely. Lighting.
All right.
And Matt and I both agree on this, by the way. You should definitely have
black lights by a preference.
Yeah.
But also neon.
This is the perfect time to go to your brother-in-law, who still lives in the basement with all of the beer signs that he has up since college, and borrow them temporarily to use for your Shadowrun game. Put up all the neon signs, because this is the perfect theme. Grab your black light that you've had forever that you never threw away and it's still in your closet. I have one.
You get it's go down into your man cave, grab your beer signs and your black lights. You know, from all of those people who still have their trippy glow-in-the-dark posters that have their black light hanging up somewhere. We know you. We see you.
Blacklight Elvis?
Yep.
Yeah. Sure. This is the perfect time, if you want to have fun with a lot of this, to do up your house or apartment and make it look like a shitty bar.
Yeah. It should be an absolute dive bar.
Now, I've saved the best for last because I keep laughing every time I think about it, but smell.
All right, so we're talking about deep in the concrete jungle here.
Yes.
So you should take the lid off your trash can so you get a nice little trash smell wafting around.
A little, little dumpster fire going
exactly.
on.
Exactly. You need some trash smell. Leather.
Mm-hmm.
Gun oil. You mentioned that. I think that's brilliant.
Smell of gun oil, definitely. If I'm playing Shadowrun, I want the smell of like chrome. So some kind of metal, metallic smell, gun oil, and cordite.
Cordite.
Yeah.
Cordite's the absolute
answer. We don't want you to burn incense for Shadowrun. We want you to set off some fireworks.
Yeah. So my suggestion for this is actually, let's say you're playing in your house, and obviously you don't want to actually, theoretically, you don't want to actually set off fireworks in your house.
We don't condone the use of fireworks indoors.
We absolutely condone the use of fireworks, just not indoors.
That's correct.
So, just get you some really cheap fireworks, preferably like one of those rolls of black cats, and just light the fuse.
Waft it through your house. Let that cordite smell just kind of kick in. Watch your players get ready to lock and load and do a run.
Yep. And also, one of the cool things about that is... your smell is the sense that is most tied directly to memories. And so one of the things you'll be doing is actually anytime you reintroduce the smell, if you do it regularly when you play, people's minds will immediately drop into the mode of being ready to play this game.
I like that idea. So we've given you three different examples for not just booze at the game, but also basically an entire experience.
Yeah.
D&D, Vampire, Shadowrun.
And obviously you can take these concepts and run with them in any genre of game.
Sure. So we could do Shadow of the Dark Lord if we wanted to, a little bit differently. We could run a Paranoia campaign. We could run a Heroes Unlimited. What would we do for Heroes Unlimited?
It really depends on the Heroes Unlimited game.
That's a good point.
You're running. You could do the dive bar setup. You could do really dim lighting and just light the whole place by a computer glow, like if you're in Batman-style cave.
Ooh, I like that too. Yeah, it's nice.
Right. So.
So play around with it. See what you guys think. Again, write to us if you like any of these. I want to hear people try these out, and if they like them, definitely let us know. If you hate them or you have some other suggestions, again, let us know. The goal of all of this is to have a setting that your players will remember. Remember, this isn't just you guys hanging around playing a game. You're telling a story. You're making an experience. And if you're going to make an experience, why not have a good experience?
Yeah.
Which is the cardinal rule for all of this.
Yeah.
If you're going to drink at the table, the goal is not to get loaded. The goal is to play and experience storytelling with other people.
Absolutely. The booze should enhance the game, not replace the game.
Yep. Should enhance the enjoyment of the game. And You guys should have fun while you're doing this. So if you can drink at the table and enjoy yourself and have fun, awesome. If you can't,
don't. Just play the game.
Yeah.
They're awesome game.
Stick to soda. All right. That's about all the time we have for today. Where can they find us, by the way, if they want to reach us?
At Goblin's Corner on Twitter.
Yep.
Info at Goblin's Corner.
Mm-hmm.
You are?
Eric at goblinscorner.com.
I am Matt at goblinscorner.com. We also have a Facebook group.
We got Twitter.
Instagram.
Twitter.
Mostly Twitter.
Mostly Twitter. Well, I sometimes post. I post a bit.
Yeah.
When I remember to check it. We're getting better, guys.
It's true. Neither of us were Twitter people before this, but I think both of us are pretty much enjoying it.
We're just rambling now.
Yeah, it's true. We should stop.
Yeah. Hope you guys enjoyed this. Once again, my name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
We'll see you next week.
Good night.
The Goblin's Corner has been written and produced by Eric Holden and Matt Staples.
Music by D20.
This is a Subterranean production.